This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let me add my welcome and greetings to everyone. It's a joy for you to be here. We've waited all summer. I said many, many times, it's like a ghost town around here when you're gone. And when you arrive, things liven up very quickly. But I want to begin with some very good news. This week, we just heard that for the second year in a row, CIU was ranked sixth best bang for the buck in the Southeast United States. What does that mean? Yes, let's thank the Lord for that. That means the amount of money you pay and the education you receive based on all the Christian, non-Christian, private, public schools, colleges, universities in the Southeast United States, we're considered the best, the sixth best buy. But what is that buying? Well, you chose to come to a Christian university, and I mentioned to the incoming freshmen earlier this week or last week, there was a recent survey released at the beginning of last week, and this is it, the 50 best Christian colleges and universities in 2015. And CIU not only made the top 50, we made the top 10. And not only did we make the top 10, we made the top 5. And not only did we make the top 5, but look here, we finished 3rd in the nation, best colleges and universities. And you know, the Lord's responsible. It all comes by His grace, and it all goes back to His glory. That's our purpose, is to bring glory and honor to His name. But it would not be possible if it weren't for the folks on the stage. Faculty, would you stand up, and let's give them a big shout out. Come on, stand up, stand up. Well, and I mentioned earlier, you know, it's like a ghost town around here, but when you arrive, things begin to heat up quickly in terms of fun and excitement. As soon as I got on campus, because I stayed home just preparing a little bit this morning for the message I wanted to bring to you, and so I missed it with my own eyes. But someone did get a picture for me, the CIU Ram. How many saw this? All right. How many know who put it up there? All right. How many are lying right now? All right. Just out of curiosity, I'd like to know. I won't tell anybody. Just like to know. All right. Well, every year, I see everything from up here. So if I see two people go like that to each other, I remember that. By the way, the Ram is going to be available to you. Rick Swift will bring this announcement later. Dean Swift, Dean of Students. Whoever takes a picture of themselves and the Ram in the most creative situation, and Dean Swift asked me to emphasize legally, you know, legal situation, you will receive a prize. Where's Dean Swift? Did I get that right? Close enough. All right, close enough. So would a picture up there on top of the library qualify as legal? Probably not. All right. I still would like to know. All right. So this year, I have the privilege each year of bringing a series to the student body about once a month at our chapels. And this year, I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. That'll be the series. Today, I want us to look at the marks of his commitment. And we're going to look at one verse this morning, Romans, and the whole series will be based on or come from Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 15. This morning, we're going to look at one verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And I know that this morning is convocation. We're convening, we're coming together, we're dedicating this coming year to the Lord. But though it's convocation, I want to talk about commencement. Now, what is commencement? Commencement is another word for graduation. It means when you graduate, you are beginning or there's a commencement for you into a brand new journey, a brand new phase of life. So though it's convocation, I want to talk about commencement. It's our desire, everyone up here and all the staff seated in the audience among you, it's our desire that when you graduate from CIU, you will be committed to these three priorities we'll look at this morning in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We want you to be committed to the Lord. We want you to be committed to the ministry. And we want you to be committed to the gospel. So let's look at the first of these. Committed to the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 begins, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus. Now, what is a bondservant? A bondservant is someone who's wholly devoted to another. And a bondservant of Christ Jesus is one who's wholly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's someone who is at the complete disposal of another's directive. So, Lord Jesus, whatever you say, I have committed myself. I'm completely devoted to your will. I'm at your disposal. You send, you do, you lead, you command, however you desire. Now, let me give you a modern day example of a bondservant, someone who's sold out like that. One of our faculty members, Denise, where are you? I saw you march in. Denise, stand up. Keith Stokel, stand up, please. Keith is our CFO. He's vice president over finance. His wife, Denise, works in the College of Intercultural Studies. You two may sit down. They served, before coming here to CIU, they served for 14 years in a Central Asian country. It's very Muslim. It's the fourth, in terms of history, it's the fourth most number of martyrs in all of history. It's the sixth most repressive government in the world, and it fluctuates between 7th, 8th, and 9th most persecuted church. They know a lot of people in this Central Asian country. At the beginning of the summer, two of their friends, you knew two, not all four, you just knew two of them, right, that were arrested? Two of their friends were arrested. They were in the car. Police pulled them over. They're recognized in their country as Christians, not just Christians, but Christian leaders. And they illegally took them in to the police station. This garnered a lot of attention. As a matter of fact, it made a journal, a newspaper in Norway, where they were saying, look, this is what's happening. Followers of Jesus Christ are being persecuted. And let us tell you the story of these four in this Central Asian country. And so it goes on to describe the fact they're pulled over, taken to the police station, and they said, you must sign this confession. They said, we didn't do that. We're not going to sign that confession. And so they began to persecute them. They began choking one of them. They found out another had asthma, so three of them started smoking and blowing the smoke on him. They threatened him with rape, which in this country is, from the article, it says this is a fairly common practice, these types of threats. And you know, we read about persecution and suffering a lot. You'll hear about it a lot while you're here at CIU. But, and I know two of the four. So when we hear about a brother or a sister who goes through that kind of situation, it registers much deeply in our hearts. It's not just in our heads. It goes down into our hearts. Now, why would they go through that? Why don't they just say, let's relax. Let's don't keep leading the charge for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's back off of being completely at his disposal. Let's not be 100% subject to his will. Let's just kind of cruise along and not cause any problems or draw any attention, because it's difficult going through these situations. But the reason they don't go that direction is because they're bondservants. They are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are wholly at his disposal. One of our board members, Chi-Kong Hsu, I want to talk about him a little bit more in just a moment. But this summer, he and I were traveling together, and he said, Google now can, they've gathered so much information, they can go to these minute little pieces of information, and they know what the most Googled Bible verse is in the entire world. I said, let me guess. Now, many of you know my most favorite verse in the Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. I said, that's the verse. I'd be willing to bet you a nickel that's the verse. He said, nope. I said, well, then it has to be Psalm 23. He said, no. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's our duty. Now, why would that verse, now that's a good verse. It's when we often memorize it soon in our journey with the Lord. But why that one? Because there's so many people like those four in that Central Asian country who, because they're bondservants of Christ, like Paul, they're persecuted. And for some reason, it's the will, it's the desire of Christ Jesus to say, this is the agenda I have for you. This is the journey I want you to take. I want you to go through these kinds of persecutions. And they salute and go on. Now you may be thinking, well, Dr. Jones, I am committed. I'm there. And I know you are. That's why you come to CIU. And I'm so proud of you. But I also know there's the tendency, and it happens around fall break, whereas we're moving and growing in our commitment, and we can always be a little more committed, that after fall break, there tends to be this decline. We tend to begin to cool off. And so devotions aren't quite as important. Waking up and going to church on Sunday morning is not quite the priority. Coming to chapel, going to classes. The priorities in our lives that draw us closer to the Lord and fan the flames of commitment, we begin to make them second place. Now, why would we do this? Sometimes we just get satisfied. Sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we fall in love. Sometimes we get stuck on top of the library setting up the RAM. I mean, there are a lot of reasons. Sometimes we get disillusioned by the church. We get hurt by a brother or sister. And we blame something or someone when it's really, I've just cooled off in my commitment. All of us up here, we want you not just to start committed to Christ Jesus as a bondservant. We want you to stay all year long committed. And when it comes time to leave for the summer, some of you through graduation, all of us, because it's the end of the school year, we want you to still be committed as a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, at the end of his life, 2 Timothy is his last book he wrote, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. At the end of the school year, would you be marked by this commitment that you are a growing bondservant of Christ Jesus? Second, the verse says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle. His second mark of commitment was he was committed to the ministry. He was an apostle. An apostle is a sent one, sent from God to other people. In a sense, all of us are sent from God to other people. An apostle is one that tends to go where the name of Christ has not been named. He was committed to his ministry. This summer, I was in Azerbaijan, another Central Asian country, and I met several followers of Christ. Azerbaijan's 84.9% Muslim, and I love being in those situations. As a matter of fact, most of the time, we were in the capital training church planters, but at one point, we went to this other town. It was only 60,000 people in population, and I was told that 70% of the people in that town, of the young unmarried men, like 18 to 25 years old, that range, 70% of them had left their city and gone to fight, not against ISIS, but with ISIS. In that town, on Friday during mosque, they have to block off a busy street like Main Street downtown, block it off for a quarter of a mile so the people can fill up in the street so they can worship during their Friday worship service. So we're in this little town, and I'm usually not real nervous in those situations, but our car broke down. I felt a little vulnerable. But the trip was so worth it. I met one of the national Christian leaders, and he told me his story. He pointed to the beach, because Azerbaijan's on the Caspian Sea, and this town was on the sea coast. He pointed to the beach, and he said, when I returned from the Azerbaijan-Armenian War, I was badly wounded. I thought I was going to die. And one day I was sitting at the on the sand with my friends, and they were, all of them were drug addicts. And he said, I had a vision. Now, their dreams and their visions. The dream is when they're asleep, they have this dream, and a vision is when they're awake. And as he was awake, he saw this man brilliantly white. Couldn't see his face. But this man said, come to me and live. And he recognized the person as Jesus Christ. Well, how did he know about Jesus Christ? That was my question. How did you know about Jesus Christ? And he said his uncle was a believer. And when he was growing up, his uncle would tell this young Muslim boy about Isa, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. So he has this vision, and he recognizes this is Jesus Christ. It's a Sunday morning, so he jumps up. And I talked to one of his friends that was with him that day. He said, we thought he was crazy. And he races to church because it's Sunday morning. And he goes in the door and his uncle was preaching. And he said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And his uncle said, no, we're having service now. Listen, if one of you comes running down here, or somebody out there, anybody, and says, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, we'll stop everything we're doing, right? He said, no, sit down. So he sat down, he popped back up, he goes, no, I want to come to him and live. So his uncle's like, you're really messing things up. Would you take him and go out there and lead him to Christ? And he did. And he told me when he came back in, it was the end of the service, and his uncle was going, I'm so sorry for the interruption this morning. Well, it wasn't off to a really good start. So then he goes home. He tells his Muslim dad what had happened, and his dad spit on him and said, leave and never come back. A year and a half later, he still was following the Lord. He was a bondservant. But God had built something in his heart, a commitment to the ministry. And he heard about a Bible college, not CIU, he heard about a Bible college in Kyrgyzstan, 500 miles away. And he started working part-time jobs until he had enough money to have it, buy a ticket halfway there, 400 kilometers. But he had to get there because classes would be starting soon. He was so committed to the ministry, he just had to get to this Bible college so he could be trained, so he could be more effective at proclaiming the good news of God's love and forgiveness. So when he lands at the airport, it's in the middle of the night. He has no clue how he's going to get the next 400 kilometers, 250 miles. So he's walking around the airport praying, and two young guys about his age, he hears one word of their conversation, hallelujah. Now, I was in Kyrgyzstan this spring. It's a Muslim country. And so when you hear two guys, hallelujah, you kind of go, what was that? And he walks up and began to talk to them. Turns out they're believers. He tells them their situation. He says, you know, they said, we have a car. We'll drive you the rest of the way. That night, they got in the car, drove 250 miles, deposited him at the steps, the door, and turned around and drove back. That was 20 years ago. Today, he's still committed to the ministry. He's still proclaiming the gospel. He's still saying, I am a sent one from God to others to share the story of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be saying, whoa, committed to the ministry. Hey, I'm a business major. I'm a communications major. I'm a psychology major. I'm an English major. And you're talking about me being committed to the ministry? I couldn't stand up and preach in a church. And nobody else would let me stand up and sing in a church. That's more than I bargained for. Well, here at CIU, you'll hear us talking about, and this is for you new students, we see all of us committed to the ministry. Some as professional ministers and others as ministering professionals. I said I'll speak about Chikong Shu, a board member from China, or he's from Taiwan. His parents were from mainland China. We were in China this summer with Dr. Shu. Where is Dr. Shu? Stand up, Dr. Shu. And Dr. Lamfer. And thank you. And while we were there, we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the capital. We're in the ancient capital of Xi'an. It's like 10 million people in Xi'an. 10 million people. And Chikong Shu asked us, do you think there are any CIU grads here? I mean, you just don't get there very easily. The next day, we bump into two CIU grads serving the Lord as professional ministers. They are missionaries. But then I thought, here are two professional ministers right here, but I'm with Chikong Shu, our board member. He's the epitome of a ministering professional. He uses his internet and computer businesses some that he has in America, some that he has in China. He uses that as a platform for ministry so he can exert a positive godly influence on all those God brings him within the sphere of his influence. As a matter of fact, if you have the Bible on your phone, like the YouVersion, he did that in Chinese. And there are now 10 million Chinese that have downloaded the app. 250,000 hits every day. Is he a professional minister? No. Is he an extremely effective ministering professional? Most definitely. So we want you to be committed to the ministry. Paul, at the end of his life, again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, now verse 11, he says, "And I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." At the very end of his life, he still knew, hey, I'm an apostle. At graduation, at the end of the year, all of us up here want you to be committed to the Lordship of Christ, and we want you to be committed to the ministry. Let's finish up the third one. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel. The third mark of your commitment, we want you to be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love and forgiveness. Paul was set apart. He says in Galatians chapter 1, even when he was in his mother's womb, he was set apart, that he might proclaim Christ to the Gentiles. Why do we want you to be committed to the gospel? We're going to look at this in much more detail later, but Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believed. This past spring, I could not remember if it was during a chapel message or I was just so excited during announcements one day at chapel that I just started sharing about the heart surgeon here practicing here in Columbia. Graduated med school from Harvard University, Harvard's med school. He came here. I shared the gospel with him, that God loved him, that he was disobedient, but Jesus Christ had died for that disobedience, but he had to, by faith, receive this good news personally. Well, he said he wasn't ready. I said, that's fine. I called him a few weeks later. He says, I'm so glad you called. I realized I cannot get to God by myself. I need help. I said, let's get together. He came to my office. We reviewed the gospel again. He got down on his knees and he invited Christ into his heart. Now, I know I didn't send this to you. He sent me a picture where he went back, opened up his Bible between the Old Testament and New Testament, found the blank page there, and he wrote his commitment to Jesus Christ. I shared this because when I have the privilege in September to speak to you again, he's coming to share what his life was like before he met Christ, what his life's like now that he's met Christ, and how God brought him to a place to invite Christ Jesus into his life. Why do we want you to be committed to the gospel? You remember the story of the man in Azerbaijan that was badly wounded, made his way because he was committed to the ministry, made his way to a Bible college, was trained, came back, and for 20 years he's been sharing the gospel. Remember those drug addicts that were sitting with him? He came back and shared the gospel with one of his friends named Murad. Murad was not interested, but over a period of several days, he had three dreams. A vision when you're awake, a dream when you're asleep. He had the same dream each of the three times. And in each time, this man gloriously brilliantly white. Again, he could not see his face. He said, "Come to me." And because he knew his friend's story, he said, "This is that same Isa, Jesus." And he gave his life to the Lord. Then his wife had the exact same dream. And his wife gave her life to the Lord. And today, he's one of the three leading evangelical leaders in Azerbaijan. Why would God take a drug addict, Muslim guy, sitting on the beach, wasting his life, and say, "Murad, come to me"? Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Listen, do not let fear hold you in bondage. We live in a bubble here at CIU. Do not let the bubble keep you from boldly and excitedly and enthusiastically proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Right now, what's fresh in your mind, you new freshmen, incoming students in all programs, whether undergrad or grad sim, make a list of your family members that don't know the Lord. Make a list of those folks from high school that you may not see them until Christmas break, but they don't know the Lord. Make a list of all those God puts on your heart. It doesn't matter if you're there while you're here. You can call them, FaceTime them, text them, whatever it takes to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul, at the end of his life, I love these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, committed to the ministry, even to imprisonment, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure, committed to the ministry, all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory." When we proclaim the gospel, people's lives are changed. And sometimes we have to endure all things, even to imprisonment, because we're bondservants. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Now, though each of these three commitments is vital, the order is critical. If we try to share the gospel without being committed to Jesus Christ as Lord, without being bondservants, it will be confusing at best and detrimental at worst with others coming to Christ. So we want to end convocation this morning with three invitations here on the screen. First invitation is this. As we start this new year, would you commit yourself to being a bondservant, totally committed to following the Lordship of Jesus Christ all year long, even after fall break? Look to the end. Finish well. Speed up. Don't slow down. Warm up. Don't cool off. Secondly, would you commit yourself to being used by God to make a ministry impact? Dream wildly, pray fervently, and prepare diligently. Make the sacrifice like the young man in Azerbaijan made. "I only have a ticket halfway there, but I'm going to get there, and I'm going to prepare for ministry." because I want God to use me in a powerful way. You have an opportunity here at CIU, which very few people, followers of Christ around the world, have. Take advantage of every single day that God has you here. And then lastly, commit yourself to proclaim the gospel, because it is the power of God. Powerful enough to take Muslims, no direction, being life being sucked out of them by their drug addiction, and turn them into national leaders willing to stand up and speak out for the Lord. I'm proud of you. I'm so glad you're here.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.